The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, author, speaker, and podcaster Rebecca George shares a moment during a marathon that helped change her life.
And I look to my right, and there's people cheering everywhere, but I just sort of laser focused in on this one family, and they are beginning to cheer my name. My name is kind of across my bib as I'm running by, and I see this little girl sitting in a wheelchair. And the closer I get to her, I can see that she has a poster in her hands. And the closer I run to her, I can begin to read the poster.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. Welcome to Life Today. Rebecca George, she wears a lot of hats. She's a podcaster, a speaker, a lead pastor's wife, first-time author, congratulations, and a marathon runner. She's crazy. I don't know why she would want to run a marathon. All the things. And I want to talk with her today about how did she do the thing, Rebecca. So great to have you here. You're a first-time author. How exciting for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Oh, my
me.
Goodness.
I'm so grateful.
And that's really a part of doing the thing. Like, how did all of these pieces of your life come together to step into a season of saying, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to pour everything into this because I know I'm called to this. Mm-hmm. How did you even know you were called to it? How do you step into it? How do you navigate through doing the thing?
Yeah, I think probably 10 years ago, I would have told you I felt called to ministry in some way. I didn't know I would marry a pastor or write books, have a podcast, and that kind of thing, like the work that we do today. But about 10 years ago, my mom walked through a cancer journey that we're a decade on the other side of, to the glory of God. She's a cancer survivor. And after that journey, the Lord led me to start a ministry that I had for about 5 or 6 years, where we donated handmade hats and handwritten letters of encouragement to cancer treatment centers all over America. We did work with St. Jude and MD Anderson and some awesome organizations. And as I did that work for the first time in my life, I would get invited to speak at church groups and maybe women's ministry gatherings and share what the Lord was doing. And so I'd have these conversations with women where they would share, you know, I love how God is at work on the other side of what your mom went through and how he's blessed that and coming out of such a horrible season. And I feel like I have my own version of that. I feel the Lord stirring my heart towards something, a particular way that I can use my gifts and talents to the glory of God. And almost every time, Tammy, something would be holding them back. Sometimes it was fear. Sometimes it was doubting if they were the girl for the job. Maybe it was insecurity.
Yeah.
And so I would walk them through these moments of how do we get out of that and onto the other side? And how do we see that in a biblical way?
Right.
And I think as a girl who loves to encourage women, and that's kind of my thread that's marked my life.
Yeah.
And if I were to ever write a book, I think this would be the first book I would want to write is pointing us to that gospel-centered perspective of how we're partnering with God and using our gifts for his glory.
Now, you talk about being an encourager, which I love. But was there ever a season in your life where you felt terribly discouraged, like I'm unqualified, I'm not good enough? For you to be a great encourager, I often think I've had to go through something to be able to speak into somebody's life and to help be a cheerleader for them to say, no, you can do this. But did you ever go through a season where you just felt like, I'm not good enough, God, and I'm struggling right now to hear the voice of God and to know how to move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been through many, but as you say that question, the one that comes to mind is I married my husband in 2019. We're about to celebrate our 4th anniversary. And along with that, I married a lead pastor. And so I moved 9 hours away from everything I'd ever known about mid-2019. So if we do the math, it was about 8 or 9 months before the pandemic.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And I left everything I'd ever known. I left my family, all my friends, my comfortable Smoky Mountain home that I'd known my whole life and went into a season of ministry with my husband that was such a gift, and we're so much stronger as a result of what we walked through in that season.
Was it a tough season? Like, was it hard?
But it was so hard, Tammy. It was so hard. And in the midst of that, though, I think what the Lord showed me was, man, there are just moments where I'm going to strip some things away.
Right.
And it's going to be maybe painful, discouraging. Yes. You're going to wonder if you have what it takes.
Yes.
And it's actually in those moments that I get to press into Him all the more. And I think my marriage is different because of that season. I think me stepping into what we now hold in our hands probably wouldn't have happened had it not been for that transition, because what it created was capacity that I'd never had.
I was going to say,
I had dreamed of writing and speaking and podcasting for so many years, and I finally found myself sitting at my home office with time that I'd never had before. And on the other side of that, in hindsight, I can see that as a gift. It was very hard, and I wondered if I was the girl for it and if God had equipped me and all those things that you named off. But I think it was also a beautiful opportunity to grow in Him and allow Him to transform me in that process.
So you're doing some cool things, but when you say do the thing, how does someone know what the thing is?
Yeah. I get asked this a lot, and I love this question because I think many times we walk throughout our lives and we're doing good work and we're just maybe not having the intention behind connecting. Okay, this is where I feel really gifted with. This is where I feel like I'm contributing to God's kingdom, right? Like, we know God doesn't need us. He chooses to use us in certain seasons, and He lavishes these gifts on us that we get to use for His glory, and we get to partner with Him. And an exercise that I've actually walked through in my own life that I actually find to be really helpful as we have this conversation is a Venn diagram exercise. So I remember doing these in middle school and comparing and contrasting different ideas and seeing where they intersect in the middle. And this particular Venn diagram has three circles that intersect. The first one says, what matters to you? And we all have things that we feel maybe naturally gifted or wired for. And those are God-given, and that's a beautiful thing. And so there's maybe something that you think, you know, I lose track of time when I'm doing that particular thing, or I feel so much joy when I'm exercising that particular gift. And that's a gift from God, right? So we spend some time intentionally recognizing those things. And then the second bubble is what matters to God. So what matters to you, what matters to God? And we ask Him and we search His word for those things that matter to Him that also matter to us and we feel naturally wired for. And then the third bubble, which I think completes the equation really well, is what matters to other people within the community and the place and the people that God has planted your feet in today. Where do you see a need? Where do you see something that you're able to come in and use your gifts in a way that honors God and serves them really well? And so we can begin to see kind of that intersection point of those three things as we kind of discover that. And it changes and it shifts in different seasons.
That's important.
And we don't talk about that enough,
right?
But it does look different as we shift from season to season. I'm sure if God blesses me and my husband with children one day, it will shift the way I exercise that gift.
And it'll shift everything.
It'll shift everything. It'll flip everything upside down, as I've heard. But that's a beautiful thing to continue to discover with the Lord as seasons shift.
Is there a difference between calling and a career? Because, you know, I mean, because some people kind of think they have to be separate, but could they be one and the same? I mean, is there a difference?
Man, I think wherever God has planted our feet, I think that's our mission field, right?
That's
wherever
good.
He has planted our feet and we have an opportunity to use our gifts every day and encourage others, we can do that in a classroom. We can do that as a stay-at-home mama. We can do that in corporate America. And so we get to exercise that wherever God plants our feet.
I love your book. Absolutely.
Thank
love
you,
your
friend.
Book. I love it because it's the best workbook I've ever had. Yours is so fun, Rebecca. I'm telling
you,
you're going to want to get this book, ladies, especially the ladies. There's going to be some guys, too, that wonder about doing the thing.
Yes.
But I think if you're wondering, like, where do I get started? How do I figure this out? What I love is it takes you through some stuff. There's some prayer prompts. There's some manifesto. I mean, there's a lot of things in this book to be interactive about, to think about, to pray about. And I think there's some answers. There's some questions. It's filled with so much stuff. Stories. One of my favorite stories that you talk about is when you ran a marathon, which I think you crazy, girl.
Oh, you crazy.
You ran a marathon, but I love
this. 1 mile at a time.
Yeah, 1 mile at a time. But I love the story that you share in your book. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. Yeah. This was, I think, one of the most profound moments where the Lord has reminded me of just such rich biblical truth that being raised in the church, I maybe memorized this truth from a very young age, but we have those moments where we get to live it out, right? Mm-hmm. And so I trained for this marathon. I think it was my second one, and it was the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital Marathon in Memphis, Tennessee. And I trained so hard, Tammy.
Did you?
I'd worked so hard, and I had a really big goal in mind, and I was running it with a friend. And so we start the race, and if listeners aren't familiar with the marathon distance, it's 26.2 miles. And so we ran stride for stride with one another for about the first half. And we had had that talk that you have with your running buddies before a race, and you say, if you're having a better day than me, I'm not going to hold you back, you know. And so she very slowly started easing away from me. And it was also very uncharacteristically warm for a December day in Tennessee on this particular day. And so it was going to be in the lower 70s by the end of the race, which for me, I do not run well in the heat. And so I was already anticipating how horrible I was going to feel at the end.
Right. And so I'm thinking about giving up.
That's right.
Sure. Like,
yeah.
I'm done.
And so, I got to around mile 20 and I started getting those heat exhaustion symptoms and my arms were chilling and I was just so exhausted. In hindsight, I probably should have quit, but I didn't. And the moment was, I was running back into downtown Memphis. I can close my eyes and picture exactly where I was on the course. And I was running underneath this bridge. And I looked to my right, and there's people cheering everywhere, but I just sort of laser focused in on this one family. And they are beginning to cheer my name. My name is kind of across my bib as I'm running by. And I see this little girl sitting in a wheelchair. And the closer I get to the family, I realize I think she's probably a patient at the hospital, which they were kind of scattered along the course. And the closer I get to her, I can see that she has a poster in her hands. And the closer I run to her, I can begin to read the poster. And it says, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside of you. You can do this. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside of you. You can do this. And so for the remaining, you know, 10K that I had, step after step, I just continued to repeat that biblical truth to myself over and over again. Mm. And I think that moment in that marathon feels a lot like our everyday Tuesdays.
Yes, yes.
Right? Where we're enduring in our calling and we have that moment where we get to choose, am I going to stay stuck in this rut of feeling like it's all on me or up to me? Or am I going to take God at His word and remember that as a follower of Christ, I'm not alone in my struggle? And I have the Holy Spirit residing in me as I walk forward with purpose. And so, man, I don't think I'll ever think about that truth the same ever again. And there's been so many moments in my calling after that marathon that I've just came back to that truth. So I'm so thankful for it.
Obviously, not all of us are called to marathons.
No.
That's right.
No.
But the interesting thing about that is that you felt called to do that thing. You wanted to do this thing. You felt like God had put it in your heart. And so He used that scripture to strike that chord, to give you the encouragement. And what you say about wherever you're at being your mission field, I think is very important for people to hear. Because there is no place that's greater, no place that's lesser. The place is where God has you. And there's a quote in your book that is so simple, but I think it's just, we have to understand it and believe it and do it. And you say, the outcome is His, but the obedience is ours.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we lack the power to do the thing is because we're not in obedience. And what we don't realize is that the power will come when we step out in the obedience. How much of this outcome obedience dynamic have you experienced or continue to experience?
So much, Randy. And I think for me, any personality test I've ever taken throughout the course of my life has always told me I'm an achiever. And so striving has been a huge challenge for me and a rub for me that I've continued to have to surrender to the Lord. And I think the biggest thing he's done in my own heart is remind me that it's not all on me. Yes. It's not all up to me to accomplish his agenda, right? I get to partner with him and use my gifts on this side of heaven, and that's a gift to me. But the outcome, as it says, is his. But that obedient next step, whether it's moving past fear, maybe it's me remembering who I am in Christ and coming out of that moment of feeling insecure for some reason, we have those moments every day where we have the opportunity to do that. And the core thing that the Lord keeps humbling me with in that is a quality of his, and it's the fact that he's infinite. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for that. He's limitless in all of his ways, right? And we see that as we line that up against everything else we know to be true about him. He's sovereign. He's so wise. He's ever present in our lives, and he's limitless in all of those ways.
Yeah.
The problem is we're not. The problem is we're not,
it's
right?
True.
And so the outcome is his, but the obedient next step as we're pressing into him is what we have to focus on, because it's not all on us. We're not the limitless one. That's him. And we get to worship him for that truth, but live in light of it, which means that we have capacity, we have limits. And so there are boundaries and things that need to be in place to protect that, so that we're able to run at a pace that's healthy and sustainable.
Wow. What is your hope for this book? What do you hope that readers take away from Do the Thing?
The thing that comes to mind, Tammy, is just remembering, you know, in the subtitle, it uses the phrase, go get her girl. Right?
Love it. And I also love the word gumption.
Me too.
It's just my favorite word, gumption.
Me too.
I love that you use that
Thank
word.
Thank you.
It's so good.
Thank you. And I know we don't all consider ourselves to be go-getter girls. I get
yes,
that.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
I've known you long enough that I think you're probably that kind of gal, too.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
But I think as go-getter girls who are seeking to use our gifts and talents to the glory of God, I want us to see that rightly in light of Scripture and root ourselves in that biblical truth. And I think we see a lot of opposing narratives out in the world when it comes to pursuing our calling or living with purpose. We also see this culture of, you know, you have to hustle and get up earlier and drink all the water and do all the things and read the self-development books. And there's nothing wrong with drinking water, getting up earlier and having self-discipline. But we see that a little bit to an extreme, right? But if we look in Scripture, we see Paul say that he boasts all the more gladly in his weaknesses and that God's grace is sufficient for us. And so we see that, and we also see whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so there's this call to living with self-discipline. And I see both in Scripture, and I think we can live that way if we root ourselves in biblical truth.
Yep.
And so that's, if nothing else, that's my hope, is that women walk away feeling more equipped to think that way.
Love that so, so much. We are all about doing things for the glory of God and all that we do, especially here at this ministry. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And look, if you are in a position today when you can partner with us, it would mean so much to us. And with any gift that you can give today, we want to send you this gift, pour back into your life. But first, I want to show you something that's really, really special. Take a minute and watch this.
I've just been talking to Monica, and she's been explaining her story to me, the story of her life, the story of how water has impacted that life. She's got five children, but then she explained that she's lost two of those children. She lost them because of exactly where we're sitting today, where we found her and what she's doing. She actually said, this water, maybe it looks like it's clean to you. I got to tell you, it doesn't look clean to me at all. But she said, maybe it looks clean to you. She said, but you don't know what's in there. And she explained how she lost two children because of waterborne disease. The pain was so evident when she spoke about the fact that she had lost these children. That's why she cried out to God, as she said, angrily. Said, why didn't I die first? I can understand. I think you can understand. If we lost our children, I think we'd feel exactly the same. Why could I not have died first? But you know what else she said? She said that she dreams of having a water well here. Right now, what her immediate need is water. Monica's story broke my heart. I'm sure it's broken yours. But don't leave it at that. You can't leave it there. Because then all we're left with is three broken hearts, yours, mine, and Monica's. And what Monica's left with is no future for the three children that remain. But if you'll act today, we can make Monica's dreams come true. If you give that gift to Water for Life, you'll be giving life for Monica, life for her children, life for the people of this area.
No mother should ever have to bury her child, let alone two. When I sit here and I listen to that story with Isak, I feel hopeless when I'm hearing the devastation. And yet at the same time, I know there's a solution, and it brings me hope to know that this doesn't have to be the rest of the story for Monica. We can go in there, we can drill a well for her family, for her children, for many other children in that village. We could change everything for them. We could bring them water for life. I don't want to see her lose another child. I want to help lift that burden from her life. And it's so easy. Giving her a cup of clean water could change it all, could bring her hope. I want to be a part of that. And Randy, that is what I love so much about this ministry. We don't just tell the sad stories, although there are many of them, so many of them, and they're real. We also tell the stories of what the difference it makes when we partner together and we go in and we drill these wells all around these different countries, these different places, and we change everything for these families. And I love that.
That's the only hope I think we have in doing this, because unfortunately Monica's story is not just one. It's over and over and over. Yes. And that's why we want to go into 20 different nations. We want to drill 350 wells this year. We can only do it when you support the Water for Life outreach. We have a choice. They don't oftentimes. That's why they drink that water. They have no choice. But we have the choice to say no to the death. No more small graves where children are buried. No more drinking water that is discolored and oily and full of impurities. No more no choice. We say, look, we have a, you have a choice.
Yes.
Here's
yes.
clean water. Drink of it.
Yes.
But that choice is only made possible when we come together and we say, okay, for $48, I'm going to give clean drinking water to 10 people for life. Mm. That's the average when we look at the global outreach of the program and the overall cost when we break it down. $48 will give clean drinking water to 10 people for life. A gift of $144 today will give clean drinking water to 30 people. That's 30 lives that may potentially be spared, definitely improved, definitely changed, not just by the physical water, but the love that we are extending to these people. Mm. People, strangers coming in. Why do strangers love us, they wonder, and we tell them it's because of the love of Jesus Christ. Some of you can give an entire well. $4,800 is the average cost for one well that lasts an average of 70 years. That's why we say Water for Life. Tammy and I, my parents, all of us, the missionaries in the field, ESOC, the staff here at Life Outreach International, we are inviting you to be a part of something great, something beautiful, something life-changing, something life-saving. Mm. Will you go to the phone or go online and make the best gift you can? When you do, know that you are a part of sharing God's love, not just in word, but in deed. And Tammy,
I know.
When you see someone like Monica,
yes,
and you know that they're praying for their own children, to be able to be an answer to that prayer, there's nothing like it.
That's why you see the smile on my face, because I know that we could change this. I know that if we come together, we partner together. Like you said, so many of us, we're strangers. Some of us we've met, some of us we've never met. But it doesn't matter. The body of Christ, we come together and we say, here's my 48, here's my 52, here's my 144. Whatever it is that you can give, let's do it together. Yeah. We partner together and we do something for the kingdom of God that is eternal and that will change lives forever. Let's do it right now. Go to the phone or go online and give the best gift that you possibly can, and let's do it together today.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You really will impact someone with the love of God when you partner with us today in Water for Life. And when you do, Tammy, I want people to get a little encouragement to do their thing that God's calling them to do.
Absolutely, Randy. I'd love the thought of getting this book in the hands of as many that call today and partner with us and request this book, and we will get it in your hands, especially if you're a girl. You're going to go get her, girl. You know what I'm talking about. Rebecca, you are awesome. Aww. Thank you so much for doing the thing with us today. What a pleasure it is to meet you and spend time with you. God bless you and all that God has for you. And thank you for watching, and God bless you and all that God has for you. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Robert Jeffress explains the importance of knowing 10 core beliefs for building an authentic faith centered on Christ. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.